Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host is Otto Loos.
We learned a lot in the first segment. I'm sure with Peter coming up, it'll be even more.
She's wonderful. I love Madeline. She does such a wonderful job, and she is the district attorney for the people. She struggles, she fights, and you know, she has everybody's best interest in Nassau County at heart. Right now we have Peter Janowski coming on, and Peter is my partner. And I want to go through three different things, and Peter will cover most of them. About 2 weeks ago, we had somebody from Tom DiNapoli's office on, Joe Galanti, talking about beneficiaries. I want to go over that again, which is so important. As of yesterday, we have 120,000 people who have died from the coronavirus. That's probably 100,000 beneficiaries that have been taken off accounts because a lot of them are seniors and stuff has to be replaced. I also want to talk about fiduciary versus best interest standards on how an account is supposed to be handled by a financial advisor. And last, something that the Trump administration just put through in reference to 401k plans, and that is now an individual, a company, as opposed to just putting in mutual funds, can put in private placements, which is a very sophisticated and risky investment tool that requires a degree of knowledge that I personally think maybe 10% of the investing population know about. So it's my pleasure to introduce my partner, my best friend, Peter. He's taking it over.
Oh, thanks.
That was nice.
Yeah.
No, I did good.
You did wonderful. You could hear me okay, right? If I lean in like this?
Talking to the okay. Vase.
I'm talking into the vase. So John just mentioned a long list of things that we like to go over in this half hour. And he mentioned, I know we're going to talk about beneficiaries first, but he mentioned something called best interest rule versus fiduciary standards. A lot of people aren't even aware of what's going on in our industry. In the last couple of years, it's been set up so that the consumer, the investor, is much, much better protected from misdoings in our industry, fraudulent things, abuse, especially in the area of paying too much for something, high commissions, you know. And so this is all designed to increase transparency and increase disclosures of what the financial professional will be doing with a client. And our industry, it's debatable if it's right or not, is highly scrutinized, not just when it comes to investments, but also on the insurance side of things. So it could be annuities, it could be life insurance, it could be health, disability, it could be investments, it could be on the 401k arena, it could be just about anything. This new rule that's put in place is called best interest, and there are best interest contracts. So firms such as ours and other in the industry like Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, any financial professional firms have scurried in the last year or so to get all the paperwork in place, and they have defined their own standards to make sure they are covered in this new rule. So if you happen to be opening up a new account, or you're seeing changes with existing relationships, or advice coming to you and say, hey, listen, you know, we're changing a few things, you have to sign these papers. It's real, at the end of the day, it's really in your best interest. It's to protect you as an investor, because once again, there's going to be more disclosure and more transparency. There are products that do have commissions, and I mean, you know, nothing's for free. So I think that the main point of a lot of these changes is so that the transparency on the commissions and what people are paying for these products, whether it's life insurance, annuities, it could even be an investment account, what they're paying per transaction, is again so that it's putting the investor first. It's putting the consumer first before anything. and everything is going to have to be disclosed. So when John was saying, you know, the differences between this new best interest rule and fiduciary responsibility, it gets a little gray, but it's clear that the best interest rule doesn't always necessarily have to put the cheapest product first. It says that it has to, in many ways, it says that commissions shouldn't be considered, but when it comes to a fiduciary responsibility, the fiduciary responsibility is much clearer in saying that fees are a bigger consideration and they have to be disclosed. One of the ways in our industry, which John and I do a lot of work with, to relieve ourselves from worrying about fees and costs is that we don't charge per transaction. We charge annual fees. So it really doesn't make a difference what mutual fund we're using or exchange traded fund or what stock we're picking or whatever it could be, a CD, a bond. It doesn't make a difference because it's not going to change our rate of pay.
Actually, I'm going to jump in with one thing also, which is very important, and people should ask their advisor. PETA is an accredited fiduciary, which means he legally cannot sell you something which would be the more expensive item. I am not a fiduciary, but since we work together, I have to go along with the fiduciary rules. But if something is suitable, and just say the commission is $100, and it makes sense for you to buy it, but there's another one just as good, and that commission is $25. From a fiduciary perspective, you have to sell the client the one that's $25. It's the law. I don't have to do it if I wasn't Peter's partner. I could sell you the one for $100 because that's still suitable. However, being involved with Peter and doing everything 50-50, him being a fiduciary, having taken the courses and getting licensed and renewing his license every year, it would be illegal for him to do that. He has to find what is suitable, but he has to find you also the best buy, which is a very interesting thing. Go ahead, Otto.
Yeah. You know, doing my homework naturally for this, and dealing with two guys who are pros at what you do, I read and I look and I'm saying to myself, the more I read, the more confusing it gets as far as the financial thing goes. All right. I just jotted some stuff down. 401k, 403b, 457, traditional item, IRA, simple retirement accounts, Roth IRA. And I look at all these things and I'm saying to myself, you know, what does that all mean? And I'm not looking for you to give an explanation, but.
But Peter can.
Yeah, but I mean, like a person, I consider myself semi-literate as far as some of this stuff goes, all right? But I believe there's a lot of people who probably know a lot less than me, and then there's a lot of people who know a lot more than me. But when I read that, I'm saying, that's really confusing, you know? And I believe the need to have somebody who you can trust and count on when it comes to these kinds of things is very important. And, to me, trust is a big thing in everything.
Oh, it's all about trust and relationships. The list that you put together is really employer-sponsored plans, except for an individual IRA, whether it's traditional or Roth. Everything else you mentioned, 457, which is usually a government plan, a 403B, which was started maybe 40, 50 years ago, was designed for nonprofits like hospitals and schools. And obviously 401K is for for-profit plans, but those are all, even a simple IRA. Those are all form of employer-sponsored salary reduction plans. So you really have to be employed with a company that's offering a plan like that to participate in it.
And does the K mean anything? 401K? Other 401s?
It's a section of the code. They're, believe it or not, there are other 401 plans. There's other letters that have designations, but they're rare. If you want to torture yourself and you're into pain, you can actually look it up and read the codes from, I think it's probably on irs.gov. And, it'll be like paragraph K is why that plan is designed like that. And that's why it was called a 401K.
Yeah, no, I'm more into, I need to know the kindergarten level. And then we work with somebody who knows more. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. You'd be surprised, just on a side note, John and I do handle a lot of 401ks and 403bs. And if you add up all the participants, we're dealing with several hundred people, and we run the gamut. We run, you know, there are some people that are participants who rely on us and actually end up forming relationships, and they move all their assets to us or something. You know, they want us to handle everything, be as like a so-called quarterback. And there are other participants that are wonderful on their own. They don't want to work with an advisor. You know, they do their own research and they think they could handle it, which is wonderful. Some people do it, some people don't. You know, some people want to paint the house themselves. Other people want to get a professional and make sure it's done right. It's typical. But we see it all. We see some people. And you know what? It doesn't mean you're not knowledgeable or you're not smart. I mean, you in a third person. I know plenty of smart people that can't find a handle on a hammer. It doesn't mean they're what? I'm serious.
You mean you saw John using the hammer from the other end?
He saw me. No.
Sometimes I give him a hand doing work in his kids' houses, and how long do you think it will take? I say, I don't know, it might be 3 or 4 hours, but if he helps, it could take 3 or 4 days. But
we're digressing. Otto, just, you know that metal thing? This is a diversion completely. A snake that you put into the wall and it pulls the wire after it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was with him once at my daughter's house, and maybe it's a 20, 30-foot snake. And of course, he has one piece of tape on each end. I rolled it up and I taped the entire thing. I just went around and around. So the next time he pulled it out, of course, he wanted to kill me.
we were at his daughter's house, and we were putting in a television, and we're hanging it up on the wall. And then we ran electric down the wall, and we ran the cable for the cable TV, and we plug it in, turn it on, it runs for 3 seconds, turns off. No, turn it on again, runs for 3 seconds and turns off. And we're looking at each other. I'm like,
looking at my son-in-law.
And I'm like, we did everything right, because if the electric was bad, it wouldn't go on. And you know, we had a picture, so the cable was working. He's sitting on the bed with a remote control. Every time we turned it off, he kept turning it off.
You have to have fun, Otto. You know that.
So, you know, that's two, a good 2 hours one, become 6 hours.
But we digress. We're going to run into time lapse here. I know we're going to go into a commercial break, but when we come back, what we're going to do, we're going to be talking about private placements, being able to go into 401ks. And a 401k, as Peter just said, is the employee-sponsored plan. And usually they're mutual funds, which is pretty vanilla for everybody. The option's going to exist for people to put into those accounts private placements, which Peter will talk about a little bit more detail when we come back. But right now, you're listening. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.